Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi guys, this is Damo just jumping in before the episode to shamelessly plug the fact that we have now launched our very own Patreon. We are really excited about this because not only does it allow us to go even further into the weeds of all things horror, but we've already started recording a bunch of episodes exclusively for the Patreon that have been so much fun and that I'm really proud of and just know you're going to love. We have two tiers, Cowards and Brave Babes, which are both exactly the same and give you complete access to all our Patreon content, but also allow us to know where on the scaredy scale you fall. So here's what we have in store for our patrons. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to monthly Scaredy Boy bonus episodes, which will include chases, scaredy stories, Q&As, deep dives, and a whole bunch of other juicy ones that we've been cooking up. There'll also be monthly RPG episodes where we'll be rolling those dice as we're led through a bunch of spooky campaigns by some awesome DMs you're likely already familiar with. And finally, you'll also get exclusive access to our twice monthly Small Screen Scares podcast where we watch and review horror TV. The first series of which I'm excited to announce will be The Flan Man's Midnight Mass. So that's what we have coming up over there, but we also keep coming up with new stuff we want to do in the future. So not only will your patronage allow us to keep making Scaredy Boys, but it'll also mean that we can hopefully go that next step and get really creative and put out some truly cool stuff, which if we're really successful, will include us writing and producing our very own horror radio play series. But either way, I just want to say a big thanks to all of you for your support, financial or otherwise. We love you guys. Oh. And stay scared, everyone.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Megan. Megan is a 2022 American science fiction horror film directed by Jared Johnston from a screenplay by Akilah Cooper and a story by Cooper and James Wan. It follows Gemma, a robotics engineer at a toy company who suddenly becomes the caretaker of her orphaned 8-year-old niece, Katie. Feeling unsure and unprepared to be a parent and under intense pressure at work, Gemma decides to pair her Megan prototype, a robotic lifelike doll, with Katie in an attempt to resolve both problems, a decision that will prove to have unimaginable consequences.
Incredible consequences, I think you'll find.
Incredible? Yeah, we'll give you that.
Look, boys, sometimes we watch a lot of movies for this podcast. Sometimes we watch them on streaming services. Sometimes we watch them at home by ourselves.
Yeah.
We watch this in a pretty full cinema.
In the heartland.
In the heartland.
Silver screen.
The silver screen. It's where it belongs. Watching that with people who are laughing, who are having a good time, that's the vibe you want.
It's funny to watch a movie like this with an audience who are slowly realizing, or perhaps pretty quickly realizing, this is not a scary film.
No, well, like,
that's a fucking silly movie.
It opens in the best way possible with that very true to life advertisement for the toy.
The perpetual pets.
The perpetual pets, the Furby sort of stand in type
pet
thing.
That will live longer than you do.
Yeah, I love it that it has this like jingle about, hey, your dog's dead and you're alone again at the start, and then cuts to, but don't worry, there's perpetual pets. And then even that they kind of look like a Furby, but they're little fucking disgusting human teeth and just in front center.
They just look horrific. Here's the thing. The trailer for this movie doesn't necessarily spoil anything, but I think, weirdly, you need to see the trailer before you go into this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you went into this cold and you're expecting, like, a creepy doll horror film, you get that, but it's a comedy too.
Oh, 100%.
And I think if you watch the trailer, you get that iconic clip of her dancing in the corridor. So you know what you're in for.
You
know what you're getting in for. You're in for a bit of goof. You're in for a bit of mayhem. You're in for a bit of murder.
Before it started, Tom, I turned to your girlfriend and I said, this, I think, is going to be quite silly. And I said, we as cowards might be scared. You're not going to have any problem. And she was just like, yeah, no.
No, yeah, she knew going in. This wasn't the movie that she chases to get that Cass feeling.
No.
This was a movie that she knew was going to be dumb but fun, and 5 stars.
Is this a 5-star for you?
I think so, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Sean, where does it put a foot wrong?
Well, many places, I think. let's stay in
the fun section for the moment.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a big go at it, but it's just, it's
this fun. Movie lives in the fun section.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a very, very fun section movie.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
And we had fun. Like you said, the cinema was actually pretty full. We went early on a Sunday, like Mad Men. And I was expecting us to be the only ones in the cinema, but it was actually,
it was pretty full.
A pretty good crowd. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. And I was thinking how you just said about how you watch the trailer, you know what you're in for. It's also one of those rare circumstances where, like, you see the monster.
Yeah.
You see the monster from the trailer. It doesn't ruin anything. No. If anything, it just gets you more amped to watch this fucking thing and see what other crazy, kooky shit she's going to get up to.
Yeah, it's a thing of, like, there's no need to hide her. Because, like, even there's a kill in this... There's only really one jump scare kill. All the other kills, you see her for ages. Like, the one I'm thinking of is the one in the shed with the neighbor, where rather than, like, you're filming a dark space, very easy for her to jump out.
Mm.
But instead, they just do her silhouette stands up and then she steps forward into the light. And she just looks upsetting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad face. Mm. That's a person, too.
Oh, really? So, with, like, an overlay.
It's like it's prosthetics and then they've CGI'd the face a bit. Because they were debating about whether to make it full CGI or something like that. But then, so it's like I think the person is like a dancer.
Yeah, it's just a kid, isn't it?
Might be a kid.
Maybe older than a kid. I don't know. But it's walking in a sort of robotic way. Mm.
And I think we're better for it because its effects won't date because it's a person in a suit and the face is supposed to look not like a person.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, even if they do date, that only adds to the effect of
100%.
It all. Yeah. They're purposely trying to hit Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. Mm. And they're in it. They're all the way they're up in that valley. Boy.
It doesn't matter if it dates either just because of what the monster is. It's technology.
It's
at the time, this is what it was. And so in the future, it'll look different, perhaps.
Yeah,
better.
Yeah.
Probably better.
Yeah.
Well, we won't have to worry. We'll all be dead.
But here's the thing. I don't think it needs to look better. I think it hits the wheel of what it needs to look like.
Yeah. It's got to look on the surface because there's scenes where, you know, like a school teacher or something's like, oh, and who have we got here? And then it looks and it's, oh, fuck. Oh.
Yes. Oh. I was so glad someone reacted like that at some point because we had a few people see it and they're just like, they're amazed by the fact that this robot is able to be an android, really, which is amazing. But I like that a normie person freaked out because she is freaky. That's the whole fucking point. Yeah.
She's really weird. Even the cop's a bit like, what the hell?
The cop was quite funny because to me, he was just kind of like, here's it's a toy. And he's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a look as the door's closing.
The minute you hear it's a toy, and maybe that's the point of it, the minute you hear it's a toy, every character's like, oh, it's just a toy.
Yeah, the instant the threat level just drops off, just a toy. Right. The cop makes me laugh too when the neighbor is banging on the window. Mm. And the cop just comes up, hey, I told you not to do that. Come up here. He was good. Yeah. I've got to say, though, when this movie ends, she's going to jail, right?
Has to be.
It's got that sort of happy ending thing, but it's like, no. You're responsible for the doll, which has killed the neighbor. The neighbor's dog killed that boy.
Yeah.
Ripped his ear off and...
Here's the thing. Didn't kill the boy.
Well, no, you would get in trouble for that.
Sure.
Ripped his ear off, chased him, fell down a hill and got hit by a car.
What I think, she will lose her job and possibly be fined. I don't think she will go to jail.
How could she not?
Because it's sentient. It's not her.
She's created it. She has written the code.
So you know what she can be? She can be sued in a civil court, but she can't be given criminal proceeding.
I don't know. Where's this legal brain coming from all of a sudden?
We're doing lots of study.
Fuck.
Well, like, okay, here's an example, and I doubt any of us have the answer to this, but
this guy does.
If a Tesla kills someone, do the designers get put up for manslaughter?
No, they'd
the company.
No, the company. It'd be a civil suit.
Okay.
So Funky would probably, is that what it's called? Funky? Yeah. Funky would go under. Yeah. She'd lose her job, but I think she would be okay with that.
That's wild to me. Yeah.
So the bad guys win.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Well, Megan's... Well,
Megan was just trying to protect the kid.
Yeah, I want to talk about bad guys here because halfway through this, I'm like, I think Gemma is borderline sociopath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's not okay.
She's not okay, right? And even then,
most of the people Megan's killing were like, I'm okay with that. They were like, there's obviously the bully boy.
The bully kid.
Thoroughly enjoyed. Yeah. Yeah.
That, and again, she doesn't kill him. He gets scared and falls down a hill.
Why are you taking her shoes off? Weird kid.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, you know why? So then she could run on all fours like a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Did that do anything for you? Because you don't like any spider
I didn't.
Reactivity.
No. But I respect. But again, I was on Megan's side. Like, even though he took her shoes off. And so there's like this act of undressing her. He kind of climbed on top of her. Yes. And then she even has that line about bad boys become bad men.
Yeah.
Which again, yeah, that's pretty good, but it meant that when she pulled that ear out, like a fucking gummy ear.
The light through the ear is so gross.
Yeah. So, no, I was happy for him to die. And then even for the neighbor, like even the dog of the neighbor, I'm never happy when a dog dies on screen, but like,
yeah. Bad dog.
Bit of kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was shocked that there weren't further ramifications for this dog, like having to need a muzzle or something.
Well,
like,
there were ramifications. Well, the dog is 3 feet to the west and 5 feet down.
5 feet under.
Am I wrong about the house next door? There's just a side fence.
Yep.
There's no front fence.
No.
So, like, the fence isn't stopping the dog from doing anything. That's a very good call. They can just walk around the front and come around.
Correct.
Like, they're making this big deal about the fence, and it's like, you don't have a front fence.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
I think it's a case of it's just showing that the neighbor sucks.
Also, a lot of people giving Gemma shit. You got to fix that fence. And it's like, did it ever specify it's her fault, the fence?
To me, it's like, well, the dog must have made the hole in the fence. It was my thinking.
Guys, we're in another legal loophole. Who owns a fence?
Get me started on
fences. I won't, mate. I won't. But who owns a fence? And
Megan killing the neighbor? Justified.
Yeah.
But honestly, kind of was. That was my takeaway watching this. I'm like, okay, no point am I really against Megan. I think they've done that purposefully because she is so much fun, and we'll get into some of that in a little bit, but she's so much fun, so likable, where Gemma is actually not at all. When she's doing that pitch about what the doll can do and how it's basically going to take the place, and you're like, hold on, you're a maniac, dude. And then even when her coworker calls her out on it,
she reacts like, that's none of your business.
Yeah, it's none of your business. And then she said, but if it's your kid, it's not my kid. And you're like, oh, shit, the villain, mate.
Even like, her saying, that's none of your business, it's like, we're not making a personal toy. We're making a readily available product.
Yeah.
Like, Gemma is the bad guy. I'm with the neighbor instead of Gemma, to be honest. The neighbor seems somewhat nice initially, if you remember.
Yeah.
She's kind of like, oh, who's that little one? She here with you for the weekend?
Yeah.
And then she gets angry because Gemma's a piece of shit.
Well, I think the neighbor's super... Sean, I'm sorry.
No, Sean. I don't want to side with the neighbor. The neighbor is a fuckhead. Super annoying, dangerous dog.
Even if that neighbor is as
Gemma
friendly...
is a piece of shit.
You know, Gemma's got some issues, but also Gemma
She offered her a hose. Now, the purpose for the hose, like, it shouldn't have come to that. But
Sean, you're Gemma, telling me, I can't believe, Mr. I... We once did a live show of another podcast where you said that your least favorite thing in the world is when your neighbor puts your bins out for you and that you wanted them to die because of that.
That was Plumbing, the Death Star,
where
I said I'd love to be able to click my fingers and people's dicks go to heaven.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that while driving the other day because of a neighbor incident again, and I thought... I think the true superpower would be click your fingers and anyone you want instantly shits their pants.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Dick to heaven's permanent.
Yeah. You're not creating long-lasting damage, but they know.
Yeah.
There's a bit
So, yeah, if I was Gemma, maybe I would have made that neighbor shit her pants. Look, no one's in the right there. Gemma is a piece of shit and deals with data, not people. And the neighbor, bit of a...
I'm team Gemma because also Gemma does not seem to have... Similar to Katie, both of them don't seem to have come to terms with the fact that someone that they care about is dead.
Right.
Gemma's thing is like, I'll just work. This is fine. This is fine. Everything's fine. And then she has that beat where she's watching the video and she tears up and then she goes in and she's like... We need to go. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah.
But we're going to be okay. And you're like, oh, good. Too late.
Yeah.
You already made Murder Doll.
Yeah.
Like, there could have been...
And I'm team Murder Doll.
Yeah. Well, like, I was a lot. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a very clear point where it could have actually gone that Megan and Katie almost, like, walk off into the sunset together after killing everybody. And it was when Katie slapped Gemma.
Yeah.
If Gemma had turned around and turned, like, vicious, like, you little piece of whatever, you know, and really actually, like... almost become the evil stepmother type thing.
Yeah.
We could have actually had a lot of fun, I think, with Megan just going on a justified slaughter. Everyone dies and her and Katie walk off into the sunset.
I'd have loved that.
I wouldn't have minded that, right? I think that actually would have been a lot of fun.
Megan can't win like that, though.
Yeah, I think.
Because at that point, she slaps her, but she's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It's just, I just don't know how to. And she's like, yeah, me neither. Both of them basically admit that neither of them know how to handle this.
Hey, that kid, she was good. She's from Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
Oh, of course she's fucking young now.
Yeah.
So immediately, good casting, because immediately I'm like, ah. Oh. she's great.
Care about you.
Yeah.
Well, she's a powerhouse. Like, even when she was acting like a brat, you're like, oh, I believe that.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, kick to the back of the chair. Yeah. Like, oh.
What'd she say? Your company makes, like, what she said something about their pieces of shit.
The perpetual pet. Yeah.
Shit and hitting the back of the chair at the same time. Yep. Powerful.
Very good stuff.
Yeah, it's nice.
I thought she was going to crash the car.
Oh, I thought so too.
Yeah.
And that kid was just going to be like, is it me?
Yeah. It was one of those things. They shadow some stuff really nicely. They set up some stuff really nicely. The minute we met Bruce, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to use Bruce to fight
me. Oh, yeah, sure.
Robot SmackDown. And then they did, and it was... Ah, so good. Also, yeah, right. I like the fact that, at the end, Katie calls it their family. Like, it's nice.
Yeah.
Because, you get these little moments, like when she shows her Bruce the first time and they're drawing together and they actually are bonding. And I think Gemma does seem to feel bad. She makes some terrible choices, but ultimately, I'm okay with her getting a civil suit and being broke.
Okay.
I'm holding out hope that the sequel starts with her in prison.
And maybe Megan breaks her out for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because I love that. I love the idea, too, that in that last confrontation, she's like, if you kill me, she's like, you're right. If you die, I'm really vulnerable. Mm. However, one of the things I've learned is palliative care.
Yeah.
If I hit you with this, you're a vegetable and I'll look after you. You'll see how important I can be.
That's very good.
What I love about this, and we've talked a lot about it, how we're Team Megan, the deaths are fun. It is nice to watch a horror movie where, again, this like a slasher type Friday the 13th Nightmare on Elm Street kind of style where the deaths are fun and interesting and we want to see them play out and we want her to do chaos.
Yeah.
It does remind me of the other film that Cooper wrote, which is Malignant, where you want to see Gabrielle fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Malignant was like far more slanted towards horror than...
Yes.
In fact, I think a lot of it was unintentionally funny.
Yes.
Whereas this... Mm. I'm trying to think if Blumhouse have done like a proper horror comedy because I got about halfway through it and I'm like... This is actually like, there's such funny stuff in this. Mm. It has to be intentional, right? If it's not, they've really cooked it.
No, it's 100% definitely intentional.
Nice. I think that's the main, my main point of praise for this movie is that it knows exactly what it's doing and nails it. And like, this is what we're talking about off mic, Tom. Like, rating a movie on 5 stars, obviously, you like to have the same scale for every movie is insane. How are you going to do like some big award winner and some silly little comedy and try to rate them on the same scale?
Well, it's why the Oscars is stupidity because it's kind of like
they're nuts.
One movie versus another movie, even if they're both a drama, I think it's still stupid.
Yes, yeah, because the thing you're really rating it against is how well did the filmmakers achieve what they were trying to achieve? Whatever it was they were trying to achieve with that movie, whether it is to make an audience laugh or scared or feel a whole bunch of feelings, that to me is what you're kind of rating it against. And so for something like this, you're like, they've achieved what they set out to achieve.
100%. Yeah. They hit the brief. It's very, for me, even based on the marketing around it and the way they did everything for it, like Jason Blum dressing up as Megan.
Yeah,
it's like,
brilliant.
It is very clear that they are.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah.
It's creepy.
No, yeah,
check it out.
It's very funny.
Check it out.
Yeah. He did it a couple of times.
Yeah, he loved it.
it's one of those things where, like, they definitely set out to make this a comedy.
Mm.
And I think the movie is better for it. I love that we have. It ticks so many boxes too in terms of like creating a fun horror movie.
Yeah.
Iconic villain. Mm, like the look of Megan's look, she's in that same outfit the whole way through. She looks creepy.
Mm.
Big time you can dress up for that for Halloween. That's a big time winner.
Yeah.
I did see a tweet about this movie being like, the target demographic for this movie is drag queens. You're going to get so many drag shows of drag queens dressed as Megan singing Titanium by Sia.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, you are. You absolutely
what
are.
What a moment in the movie. That was fantastic.
I just want to clarify, I don't think the movie struggled at all with the tone.
Yeah.
It just, I think for a Blumhouse thing, it surprised me getting about halfway through it and being like, I can't think if they've ever committed so hard to comedy before. Because they're quite good at it.
Yeah, but your note on Malignant made me think, did they learn their lesson and go, oh, we actually had something. We just got to lean all the way in now.
Yeah, I think with Malignant, they didn't really realize they had some fun.
Right. Malignant, I don't think is Blumhouse, though, is it? That's just...
Oh, was it not? Oh, okay. Now they've sort of merged.
Because, we were talking this before we started, that I'm pretty sure Blumhouse and Atomic Monster, which is Wan's company, have Twisted Production, whatever.
No, you're asking the wrong guys, mate. That's
basically,
a job for a detective.
They've combined their two. Well, I'm off duty. It's one of those, it's a weekend.
Benoit Blanc, he's waiting for the right case.
I am. I'm sitting in a bath playing Among Us. it's one of those things where I think they're combining their talents. And I think Wan has that, because I feel like all of Wan's films, even the ones that are super, oh no, The Conjuring's don't. But like all of his other ones have a level, like Saw has a massive level of goofiness
say,
to it.
I was going
to
say, what's the one that he did with Patty Wilson? But that's fucking all of them. It's the one that has that workshop scene that's really insidious.
Yeah, Insidious.
Insidious. Insidious was like probably the first time with Wan where I was like, that's like fucking silly, like almost to the point of just being comedy. Like,
yeah.
And does he realize that? And I think he does. Oh, it's just taken a while. This is probably the first time they've nailed the balance, probably.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think we're getting... Maybe this is over the next few years, because they're often you're gonna always remake stuff.
Yeah.
But it's going to be cool to see people see the success of this, and even like the financial success of like Smile and Malignant did really well, sort of cult following, creating new and iconic horror villains.
Yes, dude, I agree.
We're
going to
get our new wave of your Jason, your Freddy's, your Ghostface. It's going to be nice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Yeah.
Do you have a question for me?
I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Were we scared?
I wasn't, but I am now.
Oh, okay.
Because I've just thought about something. And we're being conditioned now when we watch Wan Man to be like, oh, I think I'm in for a little bit of silliness and fun. He's going to fuck us up one day soon. He's going to absolutely Conjuring to us again.
Yeah.
Of course we're fucked.
Of course he will.
And I am scared about that.
We've laughed while he's stuck the knife in. And all of a sudden he's going to twist it.
You know what he's doing right now? He is dancing in a corridor. And one in a minute, he's going to pick up a guillotine.
Yeah, shit. Oh, Wan Man, what have you done?
Now I'm worried.
Yeah.
Starting to stress.
He's singing Titanium to us, but in a minute, he's going to be coming at us like a dog.
He's going to be singing Titanium while rubbing our face with his little doll hand.
His chubby little doll fingers. This movie, though, no, not scared.
No.
Entertained.
Very entertained. Again, like, I liked Megan too much to possibly, like, even though she was, like, they did everything right on the terms of the look of it. Like, you mentioned the look before, Tom, and that's kind of what I was wanting to talk about in this section. Like, she is obviously sitting in that uncanny valley, like we talked about, but then even the appearance of her, I was trying to think of, like, it's such a hard design in some ways of going, we know we want this like AI artificial in the uncanny valley, all that sort of stuff, but you've still got to be like, yeah, but what does she look like? And they've chosen like white girl, straightened hair, and then upper class kind of posh clothing.
Yeah.
And to me, I was thinking about this, I'm like, this isn't accidental. Because you kind of think about people in the sort of upper 1%, not really caring about their fellow man.
No.
And sort of having this like sort of disconnect from other people and being like, if I was thinking anyone was going to kill someone who would just not really care about it other than to psychopaths, it's going to come from that elite sort of group because they don't see people the way regular people see people sort of thing. And I think even that was done really deliberately.
Nothing scarier than a private school girl with a crush.
Exactly.
That's what she is.
Yeah.
I love what you said, Tom, about it being a Halloween costume. And
it
will be forever now. Mm. And that's so important, I think, for horror.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if you don't want to make a franchise. You can just do a one-off movie.
Mm. Yeah.
But how important that is for a movie being remembered and talked about and watched over and over again, if you can have people dressing up at Halloween.
Yeah.
So it's like, whoever designed it and then the costume designer and stuff, fuck, they do good work.
They've nailed it.
We probably don't talk about it that much, really, on the show. But, like, you think about all the iconic ones. They're the ones that people still dress up as because you can.
Yeah. But also you can go as far as you want with those kind of costumes, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're dressing up as Freddy, you can wear a hat and a stripy jumper. And they're like, you don't need the claws. You don't need the prosthetic makeup. Yeah. People are like, oh, you're Freddy. Michael Myers, you can just wear the mask. Like, people know what you're doing.
Yeah.
For Megan, you can just wear a blonde wig and just like a nice dress and just look a bit spooky.
And just have like that expression on your face.
And
just do that sort of walk.
It's one of those things where I don't think we've ever really tapped on it. But like when you make a horror film, yes, you've got to make a good story. But I think longevity comes down to, yeah, can you dress as this for Halloween?
Yeah.
Also respect they've done something fresh with the doll, like the haunted doll.
Yes, yes.
Subgenre of horror.
Right,
which is like, we've watched a few, like Annabelle's and things like that. And you do reach a point where it's like, well, what's a new story you can tell? So they've done something that is very, both now and it'll hold up in the future.
And even adding the comedy part to it. Obviously, there's like Chucky has obviously got a comedy element to it. But yeah, this one, I don't know, it felt really fresh. And it's even, this is going to sound like a criticism, but it's actually like, I actually think it's a positive. Where for the Were We Scared, not really, because also it was like somewhat predictable, the storyline for this movie. Yeah. But at no point did I give a shit.
No.
It was just fun all the way. It's like, even though you knew what was coming, you're just looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's going to do this next. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. The minute Katie gets paired with Brandon, you're like, oh, that kid's fucked because he's an asshole. Because we've just seen that amazing scene where she's like, you know, he's had a big gross spurt. Do you want a sandwich, honey? Fuck off, Holly.
Yeah. Very funny. Yeah. Particularly for us, I think.
Yeah. Well, like, and this is another thing they did really well. They didn't waste a single side character. So even like that mum, like they cut to the next scene where we hear the end of her saying, you know, oh,
behavioral issues often lead to high IQ. So I think he's going to be, and then you hear the scream.
Yeah. Like, so having that sort of caricature of that kind of mum. And the other one was that we talked about earlier was the cop.
Oh, why am I laughing? I don't know why I'm laughing.
I don't know why I'm laughing. And even this cop is like aggressively chewing gum. Like, he obviously is like, to me, I read him as immediately is like, oh, you're that kid who wanted to grow up to be a detective, but you're overdoing it. Like, sure, a detective might chew gum, but he's like doing it like too much almost. Yeah.
And also, terrible cop.
It's an awful cop. Horrible. Yeah.
Very funny.
Though. Very funny. But yeah, just that. I'm just saying, you know, those are the connections you have. I don't know why I'm laughing. No, it's all the side characters. Like, even like Ronnie Cheng was great.
He was good.
That whole bit when he's doing, it cuts to him in the turtleneck next to the old TV.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. It may even be really good for kids whose parents aren't dead.
Brilliant. Delivered perfectly.
His assistant just, like, I thought they were going to do something more with the stealing secrets. But it was purely just because it was just a nice bit of leverage that she could use to justify killing him.
Yeah, tell you what I thought they were going to do, and maybe I still think they should have, was that our guys defeat Megan for good.
Yep.
But then because he's leaked the files to a new company, someone else has already built one and boom, then she's back to life.
They'll still do that.
That's what they'll do. Yeah. She's still alive at the end of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, she was, but like, even like if that was how she was alive.
Yeah.
So that our guys got a complete win, except, something has already happened.
Yeah.
I hope that's what the next one is.
Yeah.
Someone coming to clear out his apartment and finding it on his laptop.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it's going to be? They're going to be sitting there trying to come up with a concept.
I hope they need Megan to fight whatever the new one is.
Oh,
that's huge.
That's what they should
do. What's going to happen is, though, James Wan's going to come in and they'll be like, Wan, have you got an idea for a sequel? And he's going to walk up to the whiteboard that has Megan on it and he's going to write Megan's and then put a dollar sign.
And he'll get a standing ovation.
Yeah. Even if they have like a rival company and they've built like the ripoff one and it kind of sucks a bit.
Yeah.
And like it's murderous, but it sucks at being murderous.
Yeah. The idea that they then have to create Megan again to come back and help fight Megan.
I would love it.
Oh, I want that so bad.
I think we can. I've got faith in the Wan Man to do that.
Yeah.
Me too. I've got faith in Cooper as a writer. She's hit home runs run.
She knows to go for unhinged.
She knows how to like hit to that horror movies are goofy.
Yeah. Yes.
And Cooper? It just depends on tone.
Cooper started out as Scaredy Girl.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay.
Big Scaredy Girl. Evil Dead franchise sort of turned her around.
The perfect. Like, I was even going to say, for the horror comedy, obviously, Evil Dead is like up
there. I was listening, she watched Army of Darkness first without knowing there was other ones that came before
Fantastic.
That. Fantastic. Said it was just like fucking wild.
She's like, oh, this is a life-changing experience. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
All right. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Well, here's the thing. They make some dumb choices, but again, I understand why they make those choices. When presented with the possibility that Megan is murderous, Gemma begins to shut it down and is like, I don't care if you can't find a decaf defect, make one.
Yeah.
The issue is it's too late.
Yeah.
She rushes it because she's trying to get it done quickly. She's not concentrating. There's even that bit where they're like, you didn't put a parental control in.
I like that little sort of like, okay, that's all we need. Yeah. And we're like, great. That makes sense. She just can't control it.
And then she did. She's like, oh, no, I did put it in there. But you just seen that great shot of after she's put the parental control and it cuts back to Megan and she just looks at, like, just watching them, like, that didn't work.
That did nothing. Yeah.
Tell you something I found interesting, too, is when they're like, oh, shit, they're panicking about the boss is going to sue them for the work they've done. And she goes, we've spent $100,000 of company money. And it's like, I'm assuming in the robotics tech world, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Especially they're going to sell these for 10 grand each.
Right.
Like, no. That thing to develop would have been like, we're talking millions.
Yes.
I just found it funny they put that figure on it.
You're right.
$100,000. Oh, no, we're fucked. Your house is pretty nice, mate.
You're doing just fine. I assumed that the actual robotic part of it, they would already have based on the toys they're developing. It's probably the chip and the programming that's been the expensive part.
Probably. Okay, yeah.
And the
but
face.
Even just hearing 100,000, I'm like, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Must have been, but maybe off book, maybe 100,000 more than they should have spent, whatever it is. But I'm with you.
Yeah.
Hey, Sue, that's what's going to happen. She's going to get sued.
Yeah.
Guys, see, she's not going to jail.
So, yeah, I think, I will say also, so once she's like, okay, Megan, like, she knew Megan had killed people.
It was that great bit where she's like, have you done the wrong thing? And she's like, you'll have to set parameters for that. And it's like, oh, you.
And even basically when Megan, I thought it was really good when Megan's like, we'll both be in trouble if I have.
That was good.
Ooh, very nice, very nice. But yeah, she bags her, right, to take her back to the thing. Chop her to bits. Like, why are you bagging her?
I think because if she just smashed her, then it's like, well, you just smashed her.
Right.
Whereas if they can put a defect in, I don't think she's thinking rationally. I think she's like, I've got the pressure of, it's got to go in 4 hours. There's a lot of money on the line. I could get fired. I could get sued. I don't even know what's going on. I think what she's hoping is she can find the problem and fix it.
Right.
Because that's the whole thing. Yeah. Is that that's the way she's tried to be a parent as well.
Right.
Because I found the problem. Parenting's hard. I'll fix it.
The fix for that is give her a doll.
Correct.
Basically.
Or I won't do this. And then you have that bit of like, but you can't completely replace a parent. And a lot of people tell her that and she just kind of ignores them.
Mm.
I think, her trying to solve a solution is just her being who she is. And it's not until she sees that video and she realizes, oh, this is actually fucked.
Yeah.
And then she gets slapped and she's like, we've made a mistake. Yeah. That's when she's like, you need to find a defect. But by that stage, it's just,
They're fighting the garage as a power tool, man. She went for the garden edger.
Yes.
Bad weapon choice.
Yeah. That's,
like those things, have you used them?
Yeah.
They struggle with like branches in
thick
the backyard.
Branches, yeah.
We've already heard about the fucking how hard the design of this thing is and what it can withstand. Should have gone for something better. She actually originally, the hammer that she had, I think, did she throw the hammer?
Yeah, she throws the hammer.
And she caught it.
She catches it.
Keep the hammer. You actually need things. You can't cut. My understanding was you're not going to be able to cut through this robot.
And she didn't
really.
You
need to bash its head in with a hammer.
It kind of got stuck on the skin.
That thing, like the blade on that thing's, whatever. Yeah. I don't want to get too technical about power tools, boys, but that was when she was grabbing for it. I'm like,
wrong choice.
But also, that unhooks from the wall by you just lifting it up a little bit.
Come on, mate.
You put this garage together. You got to know better.
You're a fucking engineer. Get it off the wall.
Dumbass. Maybe I should be making robots.
No way. No fucking way. Your robots would be so murderous.
They really would be.
All of your neighbors would die. I'd be like, oh, gee, I wonder who did that, Sean. You'd be like, don't know.
The
don't
news
know.
Report would be neighbors all over the world dead, and that's just everyone.
Can you build a robot to make a neighbor shit themselves?
Oh,
they just squeeze them really tight.
You know what I found funny? Speaking of shitting themselves, the toys at the start,
how
you feed them a little bit, then they do shit. How much of that stuff have they got, like how much
inside
do they come
of
with?
Them, right.
Because you're not actually giving them anything. You're feeding them virtual food and they're doing shits. At what point does the shit inside them run out?
You got to top it back up again.
So you got to have your parents go to the toy store and buy a shit bag to shove up this toy's ass. Wow, the future.
It's glorious.
It's fucked. Such an annoying toy. It reminded me of Furbies, which were the fucking worst.
Did you
have a Furby on this table right now? No, I didn't have one. My sister did.
Okay.
I would have bashed it with a hammer.
Yeah, my brother had a Furby. I didn't. They scared me a bit.
I had cool shit like Digimon.
I was the only kind of digital pet I had was a Tamagotchi.
I had a Digimon and a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
We had one of those robot dogs.
Oh, did you? Okay,
Did you ever like get to a point where Digimon just sort of went out of fashion or whatever when you were at school, and so you just put it away somewhere, and then for a really long time you'd occasionally think it's probably still alive.
Probably is,
because they can live a long time.
Sometimes they'd come back as skeleton monsters too.
I wonder if it's still out there.
Oh no, we're gonna get killed by our Digimon.
Well.
Well, that brings us nice to our next question. Boys, how would we do in this situation?
Well, we're getting killed by our Digimon, so...
This won't shock you. I'd love to fight Megan.
Oh, really? Yeah. Sure. You've already fucking chosen your weapon, for fuck's sake.
I'd fight her with a hammer.
Yeah.
That, to be honest, that workshop, there's lots of stuff in there.
Right.
The issue is
that'd be
is
a good fight.
She tips over a lot of it and Megan moves stuff out of the way.
And she's very strong.
Yes.
She's very strong.
Water seemed to have a big effect.
Temporarily.
I'll hose her up and then bash her head in when she
Well, even like the glass to the head obviously did something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, but that only did something because there was water in the glass.
Oh, is that right? I'm assuming. Okay, right.
Yeah. Is that what you thought? Because yeah. I saw it, you know, you can see her reaching for it and you're like, it's kind of not going to do anything because her head's so hard and you know, all that stuff. Yeah, I think it must have had water that sort of got through.
So if you threw her in a swimming pool, you think that'll do it?
I don't think it would. She seems to sort of
scuttle like a crab out of there.
Yeah, she'd be more homicidal because she's now broken.
Right.
I think you got to do the water, though, to sort of freeze her. And then when she's frozen, go the hammer or like a chainsaw would have been better.
Yeah.
Start chopping limbs off. And then she can't actually do anything.
I love that you've come into this being like, I'd love to fight Megan.
Yeah.
We're dead. You can't fight that thing.
Why? Don't tell me what I can't do. I think I could. I think I could fight that.
You reckon you could fight and beat it?
Yeah.
But she had a reason to keep Gemma alive for longer. She's got no reason to keep us alive.
No, correct.
Have a crack. Go for it.
So, I want to wait once Sean's dead.
Yeah, so Sean's dead.
No. I think I could have a crack.
Yeah, you can have a crack.
You can have a crack, mate.
Water.
But you'll die.
Water, she's frozen. While she's frozen, that's when I do my damage.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. What if she's faking it?
Also, if you guys get behind this, three of us fighting her while she's frozen, like... you could rip an arm off. I could take a leg off.
She's made of titanium.
Yeah, we can cut it off.
I thought you wanted a one-on-one. I thought that's what you were asking for.
Well, you guys think I can't do it. So now I'm calling in, I'm lighting the lamp, the beacon.
Is she dancing and singing?
Gondor calls for aid.
If she's dancing and singing,
I'd be too
baffled to do anything.
I couldn't fight her. I'd be like, oh, iconic. And then I die.
Tom's like, tries to quickly learn the dance.
So yeah, sorry. Okay, if I fight her, at what point do I fight her? Because I need to know that she's bad. Otherwise, it's just going to be this weird thing that walks up and I'll be like, hi. And then she slips a blade in me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we're more in... I don't think we're Gemma necessarily. Like, we haven't built her because we're not that smart.
Maybe we know that she's gone bad, though.
Yeah.
Because we've seen her kill Ronnie Chen.
Do they say how strong she is?
It's just... They don't tell you, but look, she's very fucking strong.
Yeah, yeah.
She took down a...
She took an earlobe off. She took a dog.
The neighbor. What is... The other guy who works in the factory says she's 4'4". Your neighbor is a fully grown adult.
Like, I'm not that impressed. She hoses her down and she falls down and then she nail guns her in the hand. So she doesn't actually like take her
neighbor's
down.
An old woman.
True.
She just loses her balance so easily.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're all so impressed by him. I'm getting a little bit a little bit of envy here that people are like, whoa, Megan's so strong. She took down the elderly woman neighbor.
She takes down two adult men.
I could do that.
She takes down two adult men.
Yeah.
Who are the two adult men?
Ronnie Cheng and his assistant.
Yeah, Ronnie Cheng's weak though in this. He's been pushing too many pencils. He's a corporate man.
I don't think we could beat her.
I think I could still. I'll never not believe.
I think the only way you could beat her, I think you need element of surprise.
I need help.
Yeah,
maybe you need some help from the boys. Yeah.
What about if?
Can we befriend her?
Yeah. What if? Ooh. My theory is, what if we?
What if we tell her how much we liked that kid in Haunting of Hill House?
Yeah.
And we want to protect her and her acting career. And then Megan's like, these guys get it.
Yeah, okay.
What if, though, hear me out, we convince her that in order to fulfill her prime directive, she has to die?
Okay.
How are you going to convince
What's
her
your logic,
to do that,
though? Yeah.
So, Katie is going to get to a point where Katie needs, like a pet. You know how you teach kids about death? Oh, hey, kids, their parents are dead. She's already known.
Yeah, she well and truly is.
Aren't
is,
you concerned, though,
death?
That as you're explaining this to Megan, she's just going to look and, like, her little things will be like 99% lying or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Katie
that's
tricked her, though. Trust.
Yeah, that was big. I think they needed to do a little something to show that she had a way to do that.
Was the trust as in trust in her auntie? Was that or trust in herself?
I think so. I think it was her facial expression just didn't give... She wasn't scared. So Megan went, she's not scared anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I think was the main thing is that the fear thing is all dropped.
Yeah.
And guilt disappeared. So it's like...
You know, maybe, and I don't know if they did this deliberately, but when they're testing Megan at the start and the face is not responding in the same way that they want it to.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a part of it too. Like maybe she can't 100% read facial expressions the correct way.
I've got a way for you to beat her.
Love it.
You get the element of surprise.
Yep.
So she needs to think you're not going to attack her.
Yeah.
She needs to think you are pure love
I never would.
For Megan, right? You have a little photo of Charlie, your dog, somewhere in the room. You just make eyes with that.
I'm scared to do that because I don't want
her to know about Charlie.
I don't know. I can't.
All right, well, have it somewhere secreted on your person so you can look at it.
Yeah.
And be full of love.
Yeah.
And she's like, this guy's reading love off the charts.
That's true.
I'm safe here.
No, this is easy. You just look at the two of us.
That's true.
Oh, there it is.
And then I say to Megan, I'll never harm you. And then she's like, you're the best, Sean. I go, thanks, I know. And she turns around, headlock. And then while she's in a headlock, you guys have got to... I think you're strong enough
to
rip her arms off.
We just spray you with a hose. You can get wet and be fine. She can't.
Actually, I'll just tackle her into the pool.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm assuming there's a pool.
Where's the pool, Sean?
She's rich enough to own a pool. I think
she doesn't have one.
Yeah, but we'll talk her into getting one.
All right. So there's two prongs.
That's why we're in the movie.
your extra money to buy a pool for your kid.
That's why we're in the movie. We're the pool guys.
We're the pool boys.
We're here to build / clean the pool.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Work is tough.
Works hard.
Yeah.
We're here to kill.
But we did it.
We killed the robot.
Yeah. All part of a day job for some pool boys.
And then after it all, I go, that was a robot?
Well, that is all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners like our show, would like to help us out, you can. It's real easy. You can actually just head over to our new Patreon at patreon.com/scaredyboys and become a patron where for just $5 a month, you get access to all our bonus episodes, including chases, scaredy stories, deep dives, and a whole bunch of other new ones that we have coming up. And you'll get exclusive access to our twice monthly small screen scares podcast. We watch and review horror TV. Or you can leave us a review wherever you listen, as that does truly help a bunch and has the added benefit of making us feel very special. And lastly, if you have any comments about this episode or just want to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at @scaredyboys or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Treat.
Stay scared, everyone.
It's a fucking silly movie.